Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Good morning, everybody. Great to have you with us. Another day of a one-hour show today. You know we're on this new 12-hour schedule of live political talk radio right here on KSLM, probably the only place in the entire state you can find it. And we're going to get at it today. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Friends, there's a lot going on, and in 1 hour, it's going to be tough to get to it all. But let me just kind of blast through it here quickly to get to this point that I want to make. Lars had a piece that's in the Oregon Catalyst. Northwest governors say schools in session, but education isn't their aim. And he goes on to talk about how Inslee and Brown now say schools got to get back in session. And Lars points out something that I think is worthy of considering. And it's going to lead to this question I want to ask you, because again, the purpose of this show, as you know, is to empower you with just thoughts and ideas about the political issues of the day and how you can use them to change your world by having thoughtful conversations with other people in your world that are persuadable. This is a long-term project. None of this happens overnight. But Lars writes this: "But I'm concerned the real motivation for the moves by Governors Inslee and Brown comes from a fear that parents have figured out there are better ways. A lot of parents," he writes, "put their kids in private schools for the first time ever and wondered, why are the unions declaring they can't get it done? Kind of common sense, huh? A lot of kids found out that online education works well for them. And some families found that homeschool does more good for kids than government schools. So let me ask you this fundamental question. Should you as a parent have the right to determine where your children go to school? Whether it's homeschooled, private schooled, or public school? That's the question to ask someone in your world to have a conversation. So, throughout of this entire pandemic, lots of interesting things have occurred. Probably one of the greatest is this fallacy that schools had to be closed down from the get-go. Just about every place in the world did that, and then many places opened up quickly, other nations. Some states in America didn't shut their schools down to the extent that, you know, places like Oregon did or Washington. A lot of parents have been really disgusted with how this, I mean, I can tell you just from the turmoil of, as a parent, having to make decisions about how you, well, manage all of this in your life. It has been an extraordinary struggle. The danger that has come out of this is that parents are figuring out there are alternatives. That's the danger, not for us who believe in liberty, but for the teachers' union. And for Kate Brown and the Democrats in control. If the majority of people begin to realize that there are reasonable alternatives that they can work into their life, the flow of their life, and that it works better for their kids. Then that takes power away from public schools. And power and money is everything to the tyranny of those that would demand we conform to their ideology. Never has this been more true than in public education. Now, let me just say this. We look at the incredible amount of tyranny being proposed at us, thrown at us quickly here. In every way. From the federal government right on down to us, what's happening in the state legislature here right now. And I'm going to get into that here in a moment, too. From Oregon Firearms Federation, there's a great point to be made there. But let me just say this. If we look at all the crazy ideas, like banning all diesel. That bill gets a hearing now, folks. The idea of giving emergency powers to a governor that don't exist in the Constitution. And being brought forward, by the way, by the judiciary, number one. And number two is other bills that allow the confiscation of your property, including your guns. All of that is crazy stuff that's being thrown at us quickly here. Is it a stretch then to think that the Democrats in control and a leftist governor and the unions, specifically the largest funder to the Democrats in the state of Oregon, is the Oregon Education Association, the teachers union, and then a little bit close behind them is the American Federation of Teachers. Is it any stretch to think that bills might be introduced or amendments to current bills that would allow government to take away your choice as a parent about where your kid goes to school, homeschooled or private school? Is it out of the realm of possibility? I don't think it is. But shouldn't parents have that right to determine, even if they're going to pay for it out of their own pocket, to put their child in private school? Shouldn't parents have that right? I think they should. Some other things going on out there. By the way, have you seen the Dr. Sherry Tenpenny YouTube video called A Shot in the Dark? It's about vaccines. It was sent to me by a doctor. And this is a physician doctor, okay? I watched this. It was sent to me Sunday, and then I watched it yesterday. Pretty stunning as she talks about how these vaccines are made and literally the theory behind what they're doing in your body to combat the COVID virus. I think she raises some very serious questions that are worthy of our consideration. But I think one of them was the revelation about how the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is made, because that relates to another story. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is made from aborted fetal cells, aborted babies, folks. It's a single shot. It doesn't have to be cooled to keep stable as the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccines do. It's this, by the way, this is still up. The video is still up on YouTube. You can see it for yourself. Now, this relates to another story that is in the Epoch Times. How, and I didn't know this, but your tax dollars, my tax dollars, are being used to buy organs harvested from aborted babies. Now, the Sherry Tenpenny YouTube video shot in the dark, says that in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, there are two specific organs in an aborted fetus that are used to manufacture the actual vaccine. And I believe that's what I got out of the video. The manufacturing of the vaccine. Two specific organs. And now we have this story about how a federal judge has ordered the Department of Health and Human Services to release additional information about its purchases of organs harvested from aborted human fetuses. Judicial Watch literally had to sue for this. Now, this happened during the Trump administration, folks. Now, Trump has been the most pro-life president we've ever had. There's a companion story here about how the Trump administration ended governmental use of aborted fetal tissue for research. Well, apparently, whoever was running HHS was lying to the president, because this happened in 2019. Judicial Watch originally asked a FOIA request of HHS about this practice in 2018. They had to file a lawsuit in 2019 because HHS wouldn't give them all of the stuff. Contracts, payment records, communications, and documents. A federal judge, Trevor McFadden, in D.C., the District of Criminals, ruled in their favor to provide all of the redacted stuff. Now, folks, kudos to Judicial Watch for doing this, but as a moral viewpoint, would you take, if you're pro-life, would you take a vaccine that you knew was manufactured in the manufacturing process from aborted fetal cells? And if that's okay with you as a taxpayer, do you want to pay for that? Do you want to pay for aborted babies, the harvesting of their organs? Do you want to pay for that? I don't. There's more, and then we're going to get into, the Washington Post coming clean and what that means to you. 620, back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Freedom Heating and Air is one of our great sponsors and a great company based in Salem here. It's been here for well over 40 years because they do an outstanding job of taking care of you, their customer base. When it comes to emergency services for your apartments or maybe your rental home or just your own home, furnace breaks down, the heat pump quits working or isn't working the right way, they can fix it. They can do it quickly. They have great discounts for veterans and seniors. Check them out on the web, freedomheatingandair.net. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate companies who stand with this radio station. Freedom Heating and Air, Gateway.net. By the way, there's another story here on the Gateway Pundit. Of a husband and a wife that got arrested on January 6th. They're still being held by the feds. 22-year-old Florida man reaches out for help to the Gateway Pundit after his parents were taken away by the FBI. Family fears they will lose their farm and desperately need help. Zach Meggs yesterday reached out to the Gateway Pundit. His parents were arrested in February, by the FBI for protesting inside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Zach's parents are still being held by their government for nearly a month now. His father is in isolation most of the days. They have a farm in Florida. Zach had to leave his job, move out of his apartment, go back to the family farm. Now, no word here about were they violently protesting. If they had just trespassed and were just inside the Capitol, they shouldn't have been in there. I'm going to say that right now. But, nevertheless, they raided his family's farm. He wasn't there, but his parents, sister, 10-year-old nephew, and 2-year-old niece were. The FBI arrested his father as he was leaving for work. He runs a car dealership. And they arrested his mother while she was feeding their animals. The feds proceeded then to let all of their donkeys loose. And I had to find them in our neighborhood and bring them back. They pointed guns at my sister. My mother spends her spare time volunteering at a Christian thrift store for the needy. My father ran a car dealership. He was a huge member of the community in the town where he ran it. We own a farm with horses, donkeys, goats, pigs, goats, and other animals. But ever since they were arrested, we're struggling to pay the bills and keep food on the table as my parents were our only source of income. We have a mortgage to pay that will quickly drain my life savings and legal fees that are quickly draining whatever my family saved. I fear we may lose this farm before this is all over. My parents are innocent people who only went to protest. They love the country and would never hurt anyone. I have been hounded by reporters. I have feared for the safety of my family, who still live on the property, my sister and her two kids, my 10-year-old nephew and my 2-year-old niece. Me and my sister work minimum wage jobs and can't afford to keep the farm by ourselves. We're attaching our fundraiser, to this, and I beg you all to please give what you can. Anything can help. All right, so there again, at least they didn't lose their jobs, but they're asking for help. I will include this. I have not been able yet to find, at Arch request, the employer that let the lady go yesterday, the wife of the 100% disabled veteran who was arrested and is being held, from yesterday's story. You can find that on the web, or at least you can find the story anyway on my Facebook page, and you can find the story on the podcast at KSLM.news. The Washington Post smeared Donald Trump, and they had to admit it. But here's what's scary about this. You know, Trump went hard after him. You heard about that. They retracted their story, saying that he demanded that the Deputy Secretary of State of Georgia find the fraud. He didn't, and that's not what he said. They had to retract it. It, by the way, was used on page 10 of the impeachment document, the second impeachment. In this piece in the Federalist about this, there's an important paragraph, and I want to read it to you. Even here's what they wrote. Even setting aside the overwhelming partisanship of the media, just as a matter of power dynamics, this all prompts a disturbing question for readers. Here's what it is. If these are journalistic standards used to cover the president or, say, a Supreme Court justice, where they just use these anonymous sources and just recklessly print whatever because they hate somebody. If these are the journalistic standards used to cover the president or a Supreme Court justice, do you know what happens when ordinary citizens get unfairly accused of wrongdoing by the media and don't have the resources to fight back? You end up unemployed and washing dishes to eke out a living. Increasingly, elements of the right are arguing the media's incentives are now aligned with information warfare, not just bias. The media is too arrogant to understand what increasing hostility means for them and the country. Never mind that growing levels of misinformation breaking into the mainstream are a direct consequence of diminished trust in the corporate media. When you can't trust the dominant media, people start looking for information elsewhere. If you can't trust the media, you will never get a fair shake, even at the local level. This is why it's ever more important to have alternative sources of media, like this radio show and this radio station. Back in a moment at 6:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. So if you cannot trust mainstream media to give you a fair shake at any level, then you have to look at alternatives. For instance, the Epoch Times has a story about, and I'll bring it up on the screen here. That there is, I'm just trying to find this here. I had this earlier. The story about Trump that the Washington Post used, that they printed, that they had to retract, is allowed because of Sullivan versus New York Times. Basically, they can say anything. Well, the problem is they can do that and they can destroy your life. And if you can't trust them, then the Mike Lindell story, oh, here it is. Mike Lindell is coming up with a new social media platform. It's kind of going to be, a cross between YouTube and Twitter. And I think he's calling it Vocal, V-O-C-L, something like that. By the way, did you also see that he is countersuing Dominion voting systems? Good for him. But these are, by the way, he says he's lost 22 retailers. He said he'd lost about $65 million in revenue this year due to the mass boycotts from Kohl's, Bed Bath & Beyond, and so forth. This is why you should literally reach out and buy his products. I'm quite serious. Give him away as gifts. You're going to buy gifts anyway for family and friends and that kind of thing. Well, you might as well do that. But my point is that guys like him and Parler and Telegram and Signal and these other platforms out there are literally Rumble, are platforms that we will have to use going forward to be able to get our message out and to frankly counter the message of the left. Now, there are other venues for doing this, for things that are happening here in Oregon. And one of them is not just this radio show and this radio station, but it's great groups like the Oregon Firearms Federation. And yesterday they put out a newsletter, and it's entitled Let It Burn. They say, with Portland firmly under the control of the violent anarchists, with the full approval of, and they have the links to these stories, of Oregon's House Speaker, Oregon Democrats are moving full speed ahead on their plans to prevent non-criminals from defending themselves. That would be you and I. House Bill 2543, which allows the state police to deny a firearms transfer forever with no explanation or justification, is scheduled for a work session on the 23rd of this month, 1 p.m. in the House Judiciary. Republicans on the committee have no ability to do anything about it, folks. They can't offer amendments, nothing. And the House Republicans voluntarily gave up any leverage they might have had, like walking out, when they tacitly agreed to rules that would fine them $500 a day to exercise their right to stand up for their constituents in what is an unconstitutional action. Oregon Firearms Federation. By the way, there's a poll about that. You can see that on the Oregon Live. Says a majority of people think that all these bills to punish Republicans for walking out ought to go forward. Really? Depends on how you frame the issue, right? Anyway, they continue here. As with all the anti-gun bills, testimony was overwhelmingly against the bill. And you can see that if you just go to the legislature's website and look up House Bill 2543. And just look at the testimony, just, and there's a lot of it, just read down through it. It's overwhelmingly against the bill. They continue in the Oregon Firearms Federation newsletter. Quote, this clearly convinced the Democrats to move it forward. Testimony overwhelmingly against it. Yeah, let's move it forward. So, Oregon House Republicans can still walk away from this freak show, they write. But they've shown no inclination to do so, instead of whining about the fines that they agreed to. Of course, with a virus so deadly and widespread that our Capitol has to be locked down and boarded up to keep our elected representatives safe from us, the unwashed masses, it would seem the House Republicans still could have understandable concern about their health and call in sick. Get that? Call in sick. I don't feel well. But at this point, it appears they would prefer to watch the state devolve into a morass of leftist insanity. There is still time for the House Republicans to put our future and the future of your kids ahead of their personal comfort. If you live in a district with a Republican House rep, please call or email them and remind them you hired them to do what you hired them to do. Represent you. Remind them that every single one of them who walked out last time got reelected. We call that a clue. Now, let me just say that again to your friends. If you live in a district with a Republican House rep, remind them when every single one of them walked out, that there was one Republican who didn't, she didn't get reelected, okay? Sherry Held from Bend. Remind every single one of them, when they walked out, they got reelected. In fact, the Oregon House Republicans picked up a seat. Yeah, that is a clue. It's a clue to what works. They conclude their newsletter by saying, we know there are rock-solid Republican House representatives who still have your best interest at heart. But there are some who badly need to be reminded how little you need them in the future. If they show up for votes on gun-grabbing bills and thereby guarantee that those dangerous attacks on you and your family will pass. In that last sentence is everything you need to talk about any of these gun bills. This is about keeping you and your family safe. And these gun bills only restrict you, the law-abiding citizen, and it is a dangerous attack on your ability to keep your family safe. That's what this amounts to. Every one of these bills. You see, the criminals don't care, do they? Seriously, when a criminal walked into a gun-free zone and started shooting people in a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, I think it was Aurora, someplace in Colorado, it was a gun-free zone. Do you think that person cared? No. Clackamas Town Center was a gun-free zone. Did the guy who walked in there with the stolen AR and killed three people? Did he care? No. All these gun bills do that restrict your where you can legally carry a gun to defend yourself or your family only hurts you because the criminal doesn't care. They're criminals. Get it? Is not rocket science, is it? But apparently, for the Democrats, it is. But you can influence people in your world by pointing these things out. Let's go to the phones, 503-589-1220. It's the Power Buick GMC talk line. Let's go to Art. Good morning, Art.
Hey, Jeff. So, our House members, what did they actually agree to? I mean, obviously an agreement that is a violation of the law isn't binding. And if the Constitution says you shall create no law that takes away the right to keep and bear arms, you know, I'm trying to understand how they can just say, okay, well, we're going to do whatever you tell us to do, even if it is against the law and unconstitutional. And so I don't know what kind of agreement they made about walking out or not walking out or whatever.
They agreed to the House rules. The House of Representatives rules, they agreed to those rules, which has a $500 a day fine, which is unconstitutional. It's illegal. That's what they agreed to. That's a good question. That's what it was. Back in a moment. 6:40.
Okay.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. Last segment for today. Stacey Ann's up next. Excuse me, that's wrong. I keep saying that. Brian Kilmeade's up next live. Stacey Ann's up live at 9 a.m. today. I got to get used to this new 12-hour live political call-in talk radio format. At any rate, thanks to Eric Azer, Righteous Renovations, for being another one of our great sponsors. If you're looking for a contractor you can literally trust, he's your man. Go to RighteousRenovations.com and look at the incredibly great work they've done for other people and the satisfied customer comments. RighteousRenovations.com. About the Johnson & Johnson shot, I need to read some emails here. This is really important. Lee writes, the answer to your question is quite simple. If you're against abortion, then you're against the Johnson & Johnson shot that uses aborted babies. This makes me wonder how much a fetus will bring in the Johnson & Johnson business model. That's a good question. Corby writes, vaccines. That's part of the satanic agenda I've been talking about. By taking the so-called vaccines, a person by proxy is participating in human sacrifice and are considered as a participant in cannibalism. That would be the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, because the Pfizer Moderna vaccines are not made from human aborted cells. At least from what I know. Paul writes, I'm glad you reported on this. I had thought you were not interested in it by not reporting it earlier. As you can see, I sent this leak to you 8 days ago. It's a report of the same context with Dr. Tenpenny. You're right, Paul. My bad. I missed it or didn't have time to watch it. But I'm glad that, and this is, again, this is the importance of how you can get around the busyness of life. And that's have, I got a text message from my friend who's a doctor. And, you know, sometimes I get to read all of my emails. Sometimes I don't. It just depends on how busy my day is. But a text message to someone that you know personally. This is why I keep telling you, you can change your world. Because there are people who are persuadable in your world. And I don't have to be persuaded about vaccines made from aborted baby cells. But you should watch this, because it is, it's a very simplistic, and it's a short video. It's a very simplistic way of having how all of these vaccines modify your body. And nobody really knows what that means. Son of the Almighty sent me an email, as if the USA ain't Gordon Chang. It's a Rumble.com video. China is developing more killer viruses. And then Michael wrote me an email, said, remember when there was a race to develop a polio vaccine? It happened back when we were in our late 20s, early teens. Well, two docs were in a race and they both tried sheep brains, which is how the rabies vaccine is done. One of the docs switched to monkey brains. Then the Vietnam War heated up, so that doc moved to Africa. Yes, he developed a vaccine that then inadvertently introduces AIDS to the world, and history was made. Interesting. So is all the things we're talking about today, friends, because all of this matters. It matters whether you want to take a vaccine that is made from, has to be made from live tissue. And the live tissue are certain parts of aborted babies. And I think if I remember, and Dr. Tenpenny, and I will have this on the show plan here in a little bit, folks. Dr. Tenpenny, I think, lists both of the body parts, and I think it's the liver of an aborted baby. It's just a stunning thing to think about it. Do you want to do that? Do you feel right about that? I don't. Not at all. And neither should you. You should also worry about the overreach of government by what the Democrats are trying to do on the national scale and right here in Oregon is to make it harder for you to defend your family with a gun. You have Second Amendment rights listed in the Constitution. The only reason that America works is because we have a system of laws that limits. We have a document, a Constitution that limits government. Doesn't limit you. It protects you from government. The fact that Democrats in this state want to make it harder for you to defend your family ought to mean something to somebody. Again, it's a conversation starter. So also is this business about the overreach of government, public education. Is it a stretch to think that teachers' union might introduce legislation to make it illegal for you to homeschool your kids or put your kids at your own expense in private school? With everything else that's happening, I don't think that's too far to envision at all. Sadly, I think that's true. CBD can make your life better like it does mine. And I use ProBioscience CBD because I have great confidence in the product. Because not only does it contain all the stuff they say it does, it doesn't contain bad stuff. Some of the CBD you're buying from China, you don't know it, but it's isolate, CBD isolate, that comes from China. You don't know what's in that stuff. In Oregon, Oregon has the toughest standards for CBD production, and ProBioscience, based here in Salem, only uses Oregon-grown CBD. And the stuff works, especially that pain stick, I'm telling you, friends. Go to their website, pro-bioscience.com. Pro-bioscience.com. And if you buy any of their great items online, use the discount code CHANGE. And you get 15% off. By the way, you can find their products at the Tobacco Pouch now. It's on Edgewater. The Tobacco Pouch, retail. So let me end the show today by sharing with you something at a personal level. Yesterday evening, I got notice that my first cousin, Kent Krupp, died of cancer. He was the adopted son of my Uncle Delwyn and Aunt Lois, who I grew up with. He's younger than me, but I remember him from when they first brought him home and his childhood and being a part of our family. He has a 15-year-old son, Donovan. Pray for comfort for him and all their family. Thank you all for listening. 6:59. We'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will be too. Make it a great day. See you then.